I'm Richard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan McLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 160 for the weekend starting 2 December 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, Internet Solutions is buying MWeb, and that was unexpected.
Also this week, Nokia's back, baby. Then, the Orange Store is no more.
No!
And Netflix now offers downloads.
Yeah!
Let's get the engine started. Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Rachel?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thank you. So, what are we drinking today? What did you bring here?
So, we've had this brewery before. It's not a South African brewery, but they're very popular in South Africa. They do the range of beers from Step Weiss. They've got the brewery we did a few weeks ago. And this one's called Friday. It's got a beautiful red label, Friday. Very aptly named for the day we're recording our podcast.
But
this is an Uber IPA at 6.5%. If you're familiar with their beers, you'll recognize
it. What is an Uber IPA?
It's just an Imperial IPA. So it's a kind of a strong alcohol, strongly hopped, strong flavor IPA. It is brewed in Bavaria, so it's a Bavarian take on the American style IPA. So that should give an indication of the fruitiness of the beer.
It's very fruity.
American IPAs generally have a lot of fruitiness in the
flavor. It's very nice. I like it a lot.
And it's got a lot of bitterness to it on the tongue that I've found.
Yeah. I definitely pick up the fruity notes more than anything. I think.
Yeah.
Very, very nice stuff.
6.5%. It's a good beer to session, but not too many.
Not too many. What would you give it out of 10?
I've had this a few times. I do enjoy it on a hot day. I would say about an 8 out of 10.
Okay. I would have given it a 7.5. So, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Very nice stuff. Nice stuff. But anyway, we have a podcast to do. So, let's get into it. Should we start with our, as the hardy dice fly overhead? Let's do our quiz, right?
Yes.
Do you want to kick it off?
Okay. The first question: who has the ANC Youth League in KZN recommended to be appointed to the ANC's National Executive Committee?
Our second question: which telecommunications company, which owns an undersea cable, big hint, said this week it's planning to make acquisitions?
Third question: who was this week named as acting CEO of Eskom?
That's an easy one there. Fourth question: a South African rival to internet ride-hailing app Uber announced this week that it had secured 300 million rand in funding. Who is it? And for a bonus point, who provided the funding?
The last question: South Africa will be getting an MVNO focused on students early next year. What is the name of the company behind it? And here's a clue: they sell textbooks.
Great stuff. Well, let's get into the news. And Rechot, there is one story dominating the news, and I guess it actually only broke a couple of hours before we were recording the session this afternoon. But Internet Solutions, through its parent company, Dimension Data, announcing, quite unexpectedly, I think, that they are acquiring MWeb and the 325,000 retail customers that sit on that network.
MWeb. I remember buying my first modem from him. But yeah, what an interesting
big black box, was it?
Yeah, the big black box. I think in hindsight, for me, I guess it's not surprising in hindsight, simply because I bought MWeb Business. And if you look at how dominant IS is trying to be, I think this seems to be a logical next step, but very unexpected. I don't think, considering the size of MWeb, anybody really expected NASPAS to sell?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, given that Internet Solutions has quite strongly said in recent years that they're focused on the business market. They're strongest in the corporate space, of course, but they've tried to expand more into the small and medium enterprise market in the last couple of years. I think they had a product called Ignite, which has been rebranded as Sky Connect or Sky Cloud, I forget which.
Cloud, I think.
Sky Cloud, Cloud Sky, something like that. And that's, they're really, really pushing into the into that SME market. But they haven't been interested in the retail consumer market, which makes me scratch my head as to why them doing this deal. And I've been giving it some thought since it was announced, and I wonder whether MultiChoice, which is the most direct owner of MWeb, of course, MultiChoice part of NASPAS, decided that it wanted to sell this unit and they were going to put it onto the market, and it could have gone to a company like Telkom or a Vodacom, which could have been a big threat to Internet Solutions, because Internet Solutions, of course, is the upstream network provider for MWeb. And, obviously that's a big business for them. That's 325,000 customers. That's a significant business for Internet Solutions. So if MultiChoice / NASPAS decided they were going to offload MWeb Connect, the retail consumer internet business, perhaps Internet Solutions and Dimension Data decided that it was a strategic risk if they allowed this to go to a Telcom or to someone else. And so they decided to step up to the plate and buy the company, even perhaps though it's not a complete strategic fit with what Internet Solutions has done historically.
I think you're right in that, but I also wouldn't be surprised if IS actually did decide that the long term strategy for them would be to catch the consumer, because those are also the guys that spend money on their own businesses. You know, the CEOs and the IT execs of businesses, they subscribe to various service providers.
Yes.
And it's just nice to keep it all in the family. I think it's a good marketing strategy if you want to attract more customers to your broader company, to your broader platform.
Yes. Now, they didn't explain in the press release that came out, which was thought quite interesting, about the strategy behind this and why there's been a shift in strategy. The only clue that we got was when Saki Masakos, the MD of Internet Solutions, said in the statement, "We believe that broadband has the power to reshape the world in which we live and work. It offers faster and more dynamic ways of doing business and is playing a critical role in improving the provision of services for consumers across many sectors such as education, health, transport, and social services." That doesn't really say anything. I mean, it kind of states the obvious. It doesn't explain strategically why they're doing this deal, which I thought was interesting, because normally if there's an acquisition of this nature, you know, you'd put a paragraph in the press release explaining what the strategic rationale is behind but that's not really explained in this release, which I thought was interesting, which makes me speculate and wonder whether they were forced into this.
Yeah, possibly. The other side of it could also be that the fiber revolution has really kind of ignited something within the business, and you know, realizing that a consumer is many consumers on the fiber network can probably be considered as business users, you know, looking at what the kind of data they use.
There's a lot of SMEs on there, that's for sure.
I mean, we were talking before the show about streaming services, and you know, many small businesses are starting to require that kind of thing, whether it's requiring the bandwidth of fiber at least. And I think if you can upsell them to Internet Solutions package using your own existing infrastructure.
So, of course, you know the company Synac. They provide corporate email solutions. You know, they've just concluded a big project in which they've taken over the email accounts of all MWeb customers. That was a massive project for them. So they're part of Internet Solutions, of course. Internet Solutions bought Synac a couple of years ago now.
Closing the loop, so to speak.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of close relationships already between MWeb and Internet Solutions. So you're right, it could just be a closing of that loop. They bought MWeb Business in 2014. So they run the MWeb Business data center. They bought a company called, it was OptiNet, also out of MultiChoice, which runs the corporate network services on behalf for NASPAS. And of course, they've got a joint venture in the Wi-Fi space, Vast Networks, where they pooled their infrastructure and created this open access network for Wi-Fi, carrier-grade Wi-Fi. So there's a lot of relationship there already. So maybe it is just the next logical step for them to buy the retail base.
I guess the final potential, the reason for them having bought it was to get hold of some of the technology and the infrastructure to support these customers. There could potentially be something interesting there.
Yes.
But I'm not sure about MWeb's support services or capabilities, so I guess that's probably not it.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting one. MWeb's based in Cape Town, of course, and Internet Solutions based here in Johannesburg. Nothing in the press release about how this might affect staff or office locations or that sort of thing. But I suppose it's early days. The deal still has to be approved by the Competition Commission, and they only expect closing sometime in the first quarter. They still have to get the approval of shareholders as well. That's usually not a sticking point, but there are approvals that have to be gone through. But it's certainly a big story, and one that's going to run, I think, for a couple of months at least, or a couple of years, actually, as the integration takes place. And it's a significant deal in the internet landscape in South Africa. I was trying to remember this morning whether Internet Solutions has ever been in the retail end-user game. And I think they used to be, didn't they, through Icon back in the 1990s.
That was a long time ago.
Icon, yes. They had consumer accounts. I don't think it was ever huge. And then they sold Icon. And I was chatting to a mate of mine this morning who couldn't remember who they sold it to. It was either MWeb or World Online. I think it was World Online.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. But they did try and build a consumer brand back then. So,
I think the consumer landscape today, especially with fiber, is so much different to what it was back then.
Back then it was dial-up, dial-up modems and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a very lucrative or very appealing, I think.
It was not a great business. No, it's still a low-margin business, but... I mean, that's the other thing. This is a low margin business that they're buying.
But they've got infrastructure. They, I mean, with Dimension Data and with, I forget the name, but some of the infrastructure partners. I mean, it's their industry that they're playing in. Maybe they just want a bigger piece of that pie.
Yes. Yeah, anyway. So, the Orange Store. Did you ever buy anything through the Orange Store?
Yeah, I did. Back in the day, I have bought a few things. Their prices were amazing.
Very good. I bought, I think it was an LG G3.
Yeah, yeah.
Through the Orange Store. It was a good 25% cheaper than through any of the mobile operators locally.
And they had some good gadgets on there, too. Mm. Some good toys.
So the bad news is that as of Friday, it's as of no, when was it? As of Wednesday this week, the Orange Store is no more.
Hmm.
And it's a real pity because it was a great alternative to get unlocked phones,
yeah,
particularly
locally, yeah,
locally shipped locally, and shipped locally, yeah, at much lower cost than the operators charge. I mean, I would routinely, you know, get a quote from one of the big operators, and Orange would routinely be 20-30% cheaper, if not more. They also had access to phones that weren't available in the South African market, yeah, like the HTC 10 and the Google Nexus phones. I was hoping to potentially buy a Google Pixel smartphone through Orange, and I guess that's not going to be happening now.
You're going to have to buy it from eBay or Amazon like the rest of us.
Yes, indeed. That's assuming it doesn't come to South Africa, which I think it might. Although the Pixel is a bit of an overpriced device, I'm not sure I'm going to get it. But it's sad news, and it doesn't seem to be anything to do with the South African market. This seems to be a strategic decision by Orange globally. They apparently launched this in a number of markets as part of their Orange Horizons initiative, which is that that initiative headed by Sebastian Crozier, who I met many times. He was quite keen to chat to the media, and I interviewed him many times over the years. And he was always so bullish about South Africa and what they were going to do here. And they've just pulled the plug on it, which is really sad. Yeah, so it's not just the Orange Store. I mean, I think they had plans to roll out Wi-Fi nationwide. They'd launched a physical store in Cape Town, which I believe has actually closed already. They had a lot of things. Apparently, this doesn't affect Orange Business Solutions, the IT services arm of Orange. They all continue to operate here. But the retail consumer stuff that they were looking at, they've just pulled the plug on it. In all the markets where Orange Horizons launched, I think it included Brazil and a number of other emerging markets.
Mm.
I
didn't see much of the store, to be honest with you, now that I think about it. I mean, it never popped up anywhere. They never really pushed it hard.
They didn't really advertise it.
When I was looking for stuff, it never came up as an option. I had to physically go there because I knew about it.
Yeah, I kept a bookmark on my Chrome tab. I'd go there almost on a daily basis to see what deals
see what deal.
But, you know, they didn't advertise it properly. They seem to rely on media interviews to get the word out there, and they didn't really advertise it at all, which I think was a mistake. But still, it was an interesting business. They bought, I can't remember the background here. I did write about it at the time, but they bought a local e-commerce retailer called Expansys.
Oh, yes.
That's how they came into the market originally. I can't remember if Expansys was a local or a UK company. I think it may have been a UK company with a local operation, or a local company with a UK operation. They bought out Expansys and closed it down and basically turned it into the Orange Online Store. Now, I'm not sure if Expansys continues now, what happens.
I don't think so. I haven't seen them for years.
Yeah, I mean, they still have a website, I think, it seems. Expansys Be First. So maybe Expansys is... Yeah, it's still
there. It's Expansys.com. Is that South African web? No, that's the UK.
It's UK, so I don't know if this would ship to South Africa. The pricing is all in pounds.
Is that location change at the top? Let me have a look.
If you go to interesting, you go to expansys.co.za, it redirects to the Orange Online Store and says, "Hello, the store is no longer available." They do say on this website that they will leave you in the good hands of our trusted partner CTDI, formerly Regenesis. They will assist with any warranty and return.
Yeah, Regenesis is a big company manufacturer repair business.
So if we go to CTDI, Communication Test Design Inc. Regenesis. Oh, that is them. Okay. .com. Oh, they're an American company. Listed American company. Oh, hang on. Sorry. Listed in London. Beg your pardon. LON. Is that London? BLTG. That looks like a US stock ticker there. No, here we go. Headquarters United Kingdom. Regenesis. Okay. Global Engineering Repair and Logistics. Okay, so this is not a replacement for the store at all.
Yeah, but they'll just offer support.
They'll offer support,
for any price of a board.
Yeah. So that's just a temporary thing. So Orange is gone. That's really sad.
Really sad.
And it doesn't seem there's an obvious alternative.
No, look, I mean, the likes, the Takealot's been doing an incredible amount of marketing recently, and they do sell a lot of products.
Takealot's price is not good as the Orange Store was, though.
No, it wasn't by any means.
No. The Orange Store was able to get to those pricing points because, their parent is Orange. It's one of the biggest telecommunications groups in the world. And they obviously have global buying power, so that's how they got the prices down. So unfortunately, we're largely now at the mercy of the local operators again, who, let's face it, put a big markup on smartphones.
Yeah. Oh well.
which is crazy, actually. If you think Vodacom, is owned by Vodafone, which has global buying power. So.
But I think the objectives are slightly different.
Their objective is to make money.
Exactly.
Anyway, I think we need to take an ad break at that point. We'll be back right after this.
Hello world. Hello information. Hello uploads and downloads. Hello streaming videos and low latency. Hello blogs and vlogs. Hello crystal clear video calls. Hello increased productivity. Hello online learning. Hello cloud. Hello long lost friends and missed connections. Hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef? Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to the show. Rechot, Nokia.
Yay, snakes coming back.
Don't laugh. They've actually announced that they're going to be bringing feature phones back to the market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really Nokia. It's a company called HBD Global. The story was reported some time ago, but they announced this week some more details about when these phones are coming back into the market. Now, they've got a 10-year exclusive license agreement with Nokia to use the Nokia brand worldwide. And they intend to, from 2017, from next year, they plan to introduce a range of feature phones. Not clear yet which operating system those feature phones are going to be running. I don't know if it's going to be Symbian or something else. But I doubt it's going to be Symbian. But also announcing that they're going to be getting into the smartphone market with Android handsets. Which is what Microsoft was so desperate to avoid.
Yeah.
With the acquisition.
They should have embraced it.
Everything comes full circle eventually.
I've
always said, I would love to have a Nokia Android phone. Of course, they're going to be using the Nokia brand, but it's not really Nokia. So, is it going to be the same quality? They've got a lot of people, apparently, who were with Nokia who've joined them now. A lot of tech engineers and that sort of thing. So maybe there's a chance that we're going to get back to that
flavor,
Nokia, that Nokia flavor, that Nokia quality.
Batteries that last 5 days.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we'll ever see that on an Android smartphone, but certainly you can look at that on the feature phones.
Mm-hmm.
And there is still a big market for feature phones. A lot of people I've got a secondary Nokia 105 feature phone, particularly for running, because I don't want my smartphones stolen. I've been held up at gunpoint before while running and had my phone taken from me physically. So if I'm running in somewhere where it's a little unsafe, I won't run with my smartphone. I'll just take a cheapy feature phone, which they're welcome to steal because it costs $100. So there's a market for that sort of thing, and especially in emerging markets, a lot of people still can't afford a smartphone, even if the smartphone's only $500 or $600. And a lot of people, I think, especially elderly people, don't want a smartphone. I just want something I make a phone call with. I don't need this complexity in my life. So they're coming back next year, and I guess it's hard to say at this stage whether you'd actually go and buy one, but you'd have to see what they come up with. But I think it's going to be quite exciting to have the Nokia smartphone brand back in the market.
Yes, back in action. Yeah, I think it's got a lot of nostalgia, and a lot of people know the brand. Let's be honest, they kind of made cell phones in many ways what they are today.
Yeah, indeed. And I think that's the nostalgia factor I think they're going to be counting on.
Mm.
A lot of people have good feelings about the Nokia brand.
Yeah.
And we all had multiple Nokia phones that we loved.
Yes.
Well, I mean, what was yours? You must have, know off the top of your head.
Oh, what was that one that looked like the Matrix phone? It was a green, I think it was a 7110 or something like that. That was my
favorite. That one with the slide out at the bottom.
Press the little button and it slides out. The 7110 with a beautiful green, yes, chameleon green color.
Yeah.
That was my baby. I loved that phone to bits.
Yeah.
I can't remember what happened to it, but yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, I had so many Nokia phones. I don't know what happened to them. I think they get stolen or they get lost or
give them to somebody. You know.
My favorite ever was the Nokia E71. I think that was an amazing device.
I also had that.
It was a bit of a BlackBerry knockoff, but
it was great for mail. I used to love it for that.
It was fantastic for mail. It even had a rudimentary web browser, although it was a 2G only phone.
But I don't think back then we had much choice when it comes to smartphones.
No.
And browsing any kind of nice smart screen.
Yes.
Smartphone screen.
Yes. When was the original iPhone? 2007?
Jeez, no,
I think it was 2007 because next year is the anniversary.
Yes.
So 10th year anniversary. So this actually came out a year after the original iPhone, but the iPhone of course wasn't on sale in South Africa at that point.
Mm.
So this was the last feature phone I owned, if you could call it a feature phone. It was running Symbian OS 9.2. It had a keyboard. It was kind of halfway between a feature phone and a smartphone, like a BlackBerry is.
But there were no applications. I mean. It was pre-application.
No, there were apps on there. There were apps. There was an app store.
There was soft, but I can't remember ever installing it. Wasn't like apps like we know
it was,
today.
No, it wasn't nothing like today. It was
a bit of cumbersome.
Very cumbersome stuff, yeah. But I think I was running Opera web browser on it. There was an app store. It was really slow. It had Wi-Fi, of course.
Mm.
It was one of the first phones with Wi-Fi. 320 by 240 pixel screen. Beautiful. 3 megapixel primary camera. It had 3G. HSPA. I'd forgotten that. It was a lovely phone, that. Mini SIM. I think that was Apple's doing. that was my favorite, the Nokia E71. But I'm sure everyone listening to this show has got a memory of a particular Nokia. I was showing someone about this the other day, that famous one that first came out, the 2110i, I think it was called. Yeah. The one with the aerial that you pulled out for your teeth.
Yes. That's the one. We had one in the household.
I think that came out around the turn of the century. That phone was so ubiquitous, it was like the iPhone of its time.
Yeah. I think it was even before. I think maybe 98.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah,
it could have been, actually.
It must have been. I remember as a teenager we were playing with these things.
Nokia 2110. Let me just check. I'm on GSM Arena, which...
It's the Bible of all...
95, okay.
Yeah,
it's
even earlier.
Yeah. So it came out just... It was one of the first phones that was on the GSM networks here in the mid-90s.
Great phone.
Nice. 550 milliamp hour battery.
Nice.
And that lasted for days.
Nice belt. It came with a very nice trendy belt holder as well.
Yes. 25 millimeters, 2.5 centimeters thick. Feature phone. Screen resolution 4x13 characters.
Wow. Hey, it was perfect for Snake, and that's all we really cared about.
It was Snake, indeed. There was another game on those phones. What was it? No one ever played it though. Snake was the game.
Yeah,
I was so good at Snake at one point. It was unbelievable. I mean, that Snake was running around at the screen at a million miles an hour.
Tail as long as the screen can handle.
It was amazing. Yeah, that and Minesweeper on Windows are the two games.
Minesweeper.
Anyway, we're waffling, aren't we?
Yeah, a little bit.
Let's get back to our show notes. So Nokia's back next year. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what they come up with. Hopefully they put some nice overlays on Android as well without making it too customized. But it'd be nice to have some Nokia customizations.
Oh, yeah.
With no doubt that the phones will make the classic Nokia sounds and the Nokia ringtones and stuff. HBD Glow will bring in that to market. No word if they're coming to South Africa, but I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. Anyway, the last item of news I wanted to chat to you, you're a Netflix subscriber, right?
Oh, I'm a big Netflix fan.
So you must be quite excited that they've announced that you can now download content for offline viewing.
Yes and no. I mean, I've got fiber, so I just stream whatever I want, right?
Yes.
But, it's a handy feature, especially if you're traveling.
Yeah.
Imperative feature, actually, to have.
When you're traveling, at the airport, you're flying, you put movies on your iPad. It's apparently quite a limited subset of content at the moment, but it'll expand quickly, they say. But it's quite cool. But they're playing catch up with Showmax, because of course Showmax has had this feature for a while.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, you don't want to limit it to some of your shows. You want to give your customers a full experience. I mean, why can't I continue watching something?
Yes.
Because no doubt it will be encrypted regardless. So there won't be any way for me to copy those shows off there. So
no.
I mean, those kind of limitations or restrictions, license restrictions, shouldn't really apply.
Yeah, I suppose it's the content providers that get sticky with them, but yeah, I'm sure it'll expand quickly. But that's quite cool. So,
but yeah, very handy feature, and something that I have used with Showmax, and that I will definitely use with this in the future.
Yeah. Can't wait to get my fiber so I can start really playing around with these services.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Cool. Well, that's our news this week. Let's get on to our winners and losers. I picked both of them, so let me run through them quickly. Our winner this week is Phuthuma Nhleko, who, of course, is the interim CEO of MTN Group. He's standing in that role until Rob Shooter joins from Vodafone in March next year. MTN has just announced that he's sold 123 million rands, more than a million shares in the group. Sure. Netting 123 million rand, so quite a windfall for him. Not sure what it says about his confidence in the incoming CEO, though, if you're going to dump all those shares just before he joins. Maybe I'm being a bit unfair, but you know, you're about to step down as interim chairman, and you take profit of that sort of scale. It's an interesting timing, anyway. But certainly our winner this week for making a small fortune out of MTN, Phuthuma Nhleko. And our loser this week, once again, is none other than Mr. Hlaudi Motsoeneng, former chief operating officer of the SABC. Okay. Group executive of corporate affairs, or acting group executive of corporate affairs. Now, he got on a stage, I think it was in KZN, yes, the ANC Youth League KwaZulu-Natal lecture on economic freedom in Durban on Friday night, and he basically said that he could save South Africa. He said some choice things. We as blacks are a serious problem. We don't want black people to emerge and do well in their lives. That wasn't the most problematic thing by any stretch of the imagination. You know why we are not moving with speed in South Africa? Because we have copied the West. We're in Africa. We should have our own standard. When you do research, it takes 3 years and 2 years to implement. I don't believe in research. It is not how I operate. I think that's quite clear in the way the SABC is being managed. The ANC Youth League in KwaZulu-Natal has nominated Mr. Motsoeneng to the ANC National Executive Committee. Seeing the fact that he's probably going to be out of a job soon, since Parliament is about to get rid of the last remaining board member in the form of the chairman, Obed Makuve, no doubt Hlaudi Motsoeneng's job will be next to go after that happens. Why not? Why not move into politics? And since he's Zuma's pal, Baba's buddy, why not join the ANC NEC? If he wants it to happen, it'll happen. So that's our loser this week, Hlaudi Motsoeneng, and we have definitely not heard the last of him.
Yeah.
Anyway, what is your pick this week, Rehot, as I run off to get my phone because I've left it inside?
So my pick is, I'm quite an avid mountain biker, and I do enjoy to hit the single track every weekend. And one of the things that I often struggle with is my seat. Not for any other reason, that it just slips loose, because I do like to ride the single track and then do the occasional ramp and jump. But this application I found actually is very cool and very handy if you want to get your seat just right for various positions, because your seat can move forward or backwards. But what you do is basically you loosen your seat from your seat post, place this application on your seat, and move it basically to within the parameters on the screen, and then you just adjust your seat accordingly. So this will allow you to move your seat either a little bit forward or a little bit back, based on a precision movement that you, or a precision setting that that you always want to stick with when you're riding your bike. At only 15 rand, it's available in both the iOS and Android stores. It's really been a handy tool in my life. I mean, I've used it two or three times because my saddle does loosen quite a lot after a few rides, so I have to kind of just adjust it again. It's a simple use of the the accelerometers inside the phone just to kind of get the right angle. It's a very simple application, but it's remarkably handy. We'll post the links on the show notes, but it's Morgor Saddle Adjust if you look for it on either iTunes or the Google Play Store.
That looks pretty cool. If you're a cyclist, check it out. My pick this week is something called Zoomulator, developed by a South African developer.
Zoomulator, oh yeah.
I think you saw this week,
yeah.
Rehot.
Yeah.
It's a great little app. It's developed by, in fact, I've got his name here if I fire up TweetDeck. I'll give it to you in a moment. But it's really kind of in the same week that Jeremy Clarkson took the mickey out of Zuma on the Grand Tour during their latest episode about his trouble with large numbers. They launched this app. I'm not sure who was developing it already or whether it was in response to the Grand Tour show. It's a guy called Justin Notling who developed it. And it's available for iOS and Android. Works on the iPad as well. But it's really a delight. It's not something you're going to keep on your phone for a long time, but you fire it up. It looks like a calculator, but it doesn't really work. In fact, it doesn't work. You just type
don't
in,
use it for any calculations.
You type in numbers randomly and hit the equal sign in the calculator, and it fires up a random answer with Zuma talking in the background.
Honorable Cardo, I would caution against problematizing.
That is, to be fair, that is a difficult word. Mostly, this just takes fun out of large numbers.
700,000.2 million. It's not 250. I've never dodged questions in this parliament. 700,000.2 million. Listen properly.
This is my favorite.
769,820 and 70.
So, Zoomulator, that's in the store. There's a dedicated Nkandla button that does only one thing, and that's this.
Nkandla.
That's worth just to get for the soundbite.
Oh, that's a great app.
He must have sifted through hours and hours of it.
He must have.
Brilliant.
That's Zoomulator. And it's in Android for Android and iOS. So go check it out. It's good fun. I'm sure it won't be on my phone for more than another week. But great entertainment. Great entertainment. Anyway, that's our show, I think. We just need to do the quiz results. So our first question this week was, who has the ANC Youth League in KZN recommended be appointed to the ANC's National Executive Committee? And the answer, of course, is Claudie Motsoeneng.
The second question, which telecommunications company, which owns an undersea cable, said this week it's planning to make acquisitions? The answer, Seacom.
Our third question, who was this week named as acting CEO of Eskom? And the answer, Machela Koko.
The fourth question, a South African rival to internet ride-hailing app Uber announced this week that it had secured 300 million rand in funding. Who is it? And for a bonus point, we also wanted to know who provided the funding. And the answer, Zebra Cabs and Future Growth Asset Management.
And the last question this week, South Africa will be getting an MVNO focused on students early next year. What is the name of the company behind it? And the clue was they sell textbooks. And the answer is Van Schaik Bookstore. And that's our show. As always, if you've got any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. info@techcentral.co.za. And in our show next week, we'll have a bonus interview. So look out for that. And I think we've probably only got about two or three of these left for the year, don't we?
Yeah, it's almost the end of another year.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, we will be back with a couple more before we say goodbye for the year. But until then, from Rachel and myself, take care. Ciao.
Ciao. We'll be right back.